to keep me warm, but I'm nobody's fool besides my own. I know that I am reaping all the seeds that I've sown. Well, I've had my share of sorrows, but mostly I'm glad. Anyone can tell you I just love being bad. But the good Lord has got his work cut out. I'm just a no good, lazy, bad mouth lad.
Get to you in a sec, but what I like about that song is when we were off air, you were saying that because you confessed to some things in the lyrics of that, that song, and then there's like a statute of limitation that your parents may or may not. We'll get to you. We're going to get to meet some of the members, and we're going to start over there with Sam Kaplan Good, who's on the drums. He plays drums with The Trouble as well. Hey, Sam.
Hi, Mike.
Welcome back to the KM studio.
Here's
the question that everybody in the band is going to answer. We're going to go through the rhythm section right now and maybe some horns. Sam, what is the most statistically unlikely thing that ever has happened to you personally?
In my life. That's a tough question.
In your life, yeah.
I'm going to have to say narrowly missing getting sideswiped by a truck.
Oh.
By a semi. By like inches.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
My flash lifed before my eyes.
Oh, my goodness. Was this on, like, 101 somewhere?
No, this is in San Diego.
Okay.
On the 5 freeway.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. And then Ari on bass, who also plays trumpet with, you play in Motherlode, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, okay. And Ari, what is the most unlikely thing that ever happened to you?
Well, I'm going to have to say that I spent the first, like, 16 years of my life growing up on a boat in a harbor.
That is pretty unlikely.
Yeah.
Where was that?
People. That's in Santa Cruz, California.
Yeah, on a houseboat or just?
Just a sailboat.
That had to be cozy.
It was quite cozy.
Would you recommend it?
Not if you are as large as I am.
You're a physically large person. You, what are you, 6'4"?
I'm 6'4", about 230 pounds.
His dad's bigger.
My dad is... Yes.
And how long was the sailboat?
When I was smaller than now, it was about 27 feet long. which is not very long. And then we moved into a nice big roomy one, which was 47 feet long.
Wow. Wow. All right, that's good. And then over there we've got DJ Scott. We'll do one more of these. Scott, what is the most statistically unlikely thing to ever happen to you?
Well, I would have to say being infested by a human bot fly, probably.
What is that?
I think I might have told you this story before, Mike, but I
may have blocked it then.
I went on a high school trip to Belize in Guatemala, and basically a horse fly decided to have its home grow in the side of my abdomen, and was there for about 6 weeks. I named him Theodore.
That sounds horrifying.
I still have him in a test tube in my lap drawer at home.
You move on.
No, man. It's going to get me chicks someday.
You want to see something that's been in me? Oh, I know about pregnancy. Well,
yeah, exactly.
All right, let's do another jam, River Valley Mud. What is it going to be?
This one's called How Long Would It Be Good
For? River Valley Mud, live in the K-Home studio.
True, and if I gave you my everything, how long would it be gonna be gave you my everything.
on the Barry saxophone. His name is Chris, and you also play with the Crabgrass Band, right?
Yeah, I do. Wait, am I on a mic here?
Grab Scott's mic there. What is the most statistically unlikely thing that ever occurred to you?
I was thinking about that during the last song we were playing, and the first thing I thought of was when I was 6 years old, I drove a BART train under San Francisco Bay.
Whoa! That's pretty cool.
This was back in the days before, well, rules and stuff, I think. But if you ever ride on a BART train, there's a window where the cab is, where the guy, the operator, sits. And when you're six, man, that's the coolest thing in the world, right? So I'm just being a little six-year-old Chris, being, you know, banging on the door for about, oh, maybe five, six stops. Finally, the door opens. And luckily, the driver had his supervisor there with him. And he says, "You want to come in and drive the train?" And I just about passed out because, again, I'm six, right? This is a bar train. This is like the biggest thing in like my universe right now. So I get in there and they put me on the mic for the, you know, the PA announcement saying, you know, "Embarcadero, next station." You can hear the people on the train just laughing. But turns out all you have to do to drive a BART train is sit there and keep your feet on a pedal.
That's it?
It's pretty much automatic. The hardest thing to do, the BART people probably don't want to get this out there because I know they're unionized, but the hardest thing is keeping the doors open because they want to close automatically to keep them on time. So the operator puts his hand on the open button. So the lives of all these Bay Area commuters were in the hands of a six-year-old. Again, statute of limitations. I think BART's not going to get in trouble now because that was over 30 years ago. But, yeah.
The conductor's name was BART?
Sure, as far as you know.
I remember being a kid looking in there and going, he's not doing anything. Like, there's the digital readout. There's the little thing that says 35 miles an hour, 36, 37, but he's not touching anything.
And 70 under the bay. That thing gets moving.
That's a good story.
And when you're going out front, it's a true story. The people that made the tunnel in the 70s, they spray painted these eyeballs on the side of the tunnel. And you can't see it when you're in the BART train, but if you're driving the train, you can see these eyes and they open and close and open and close as you're driving under the bay.
Man, when aliens excavate that, they're going to be like, they're going to come up with some theories.
And did you know that very same tunnel was used in what George Lucas movie? THX 1138. That's
really?
Right.
Really?
That's right.
Wow.
Stupid facts with Chris.
Good one, Chris. All right, and then on the trumpet, we've got Lewis. Lewis, what is the most you can pass if you can't think of anything, but what is the most statistically unlikely thing that ever happened to Lewis?
Probably the most likely thing was I figure I reached the zenith, the peak of my professional musical career when I was 16 years old, and my high school jazz band was selected to open for Carlos Santana and the Blue Man Group and the LA Symphonic Orchestra at the Hollywood Bowl, which seats like, it was like a sold out show with like 18,000 people or something like that.
You opened for Santana at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
And so and Blue Man Group.
And the Blue Man Group, yeah. So I figured, you know, that's it.
All downhill. And now you're on K, home.
And now you're on K.
That is a staggering fall, yeah. Lewis. On guitar, we've got Joe. And grab a microphone there, Joe. What's the most statistically unlikely thing that ever happened to you, Joe?
When I was about 14, my dad took me to see Eric Clapton's Crossroads Festival in Dallas, Texas. I believe it was at the Cotton Bowl. And I actually saw Eric Clapton at two different times, like in the crowd. It was like a three-day festival, so you know, the first couple days there's a bunch of other artists that played, and he was out in the crowd, and he actually like walked right over me, and so I could have like stuck my arm out or something and tripped him, I guess. But I didn't do it. And then on the second day, I saw him again. I was like walking backwards, like away from the stage, and I like made eye contact with him for a couple seconds, and then I went over and like asked for his autograph and stuff.
So the most unlikely thing that ever happened to you is that Eric Clapton saw you.
Yeah, I mean, I know it doesn't sound that crazy, but
it's pretty
It was two times in a huge group of people.
That's true. It walked over you.
Yeah.
You got walked over.
Yeah.
All right, you know, Aber and Claire, we're going to finish with you guys. Let's do some music from River Valley Mud, who are in the studio with us today. And we'll be right back. Everybody can tell. It's KM Radio Without the Rules. River Valley Mud is in the building with us. Thank you guys again for being here. We got time for some more music. We're getting to know the members of River Valley Mud. Okay, so Aber Miller on the keys, and you also play, what do you play, trumpet?
Yeah.
Have a microphone. Give her.
I'm actually mostly a hammer dulcimer player.
Well, I know that's the new thing now.
Yeah, I totally left my hammers at home. So,
what is the most statistically unlikely thing that ever happened to you?
I was so tempted to make up a really good lie, but then I thought of something too weird to pass on. When I was, well, I don't know how old I was, whenever Bob Dole was running for president, and I'm 26 now, so you can go ahead and do the math.
You were negative.
My brother and I both, for Halloween one year, decided to dress up as Bob Dole. Actually, he decided to, and I, being a little brother, copied his costume and went. So we both dressed up as Bob Dole, and We were growing up in Lawrence, Kansas, which is where William Burroughs retired and did heroin for the end of his years. So we went over to William Burroughs' house and both dressed as Bob Dole for Halloween trick-or-treating, and we knocked on the door, and who should be there but Allen Ginsberg. So there's a great picture of me and my brother and William Burroughs and Allen Ginsberg. My brother and I dressed up as Bob Dole. That was just, I don't think it gets any more statistically unlikely than that.
Yeah. I'm going to tell that story to other people like it happened to me. That's fantastic.
You can actually Google a photo of it, apparently. My brother just pointed that out to me. If you look up, like, Aber, Bob Dole, William Burroughs, it'll come up.
Wow.
We expect to see that on the game.
Yeah. No.
No.
Cover photo.
And then over here, we've got Claire on the lead vocals. You're a hell of a good singer, Claire.
Thank you.
You are also something of a diva, as we now know.
Yeah, I gotta do it.
Yeah, she
I'm the only girl in the band, so.
Yeah, she's like, I need a boy over here to help me fiddle with these knobs. and then, of course, a boy came over and plugged some stuff in.
Yeah.
So what is the most statistically unlikely thing that ever happened to you, Claire? Pretend like your parents aren't listening.
Oh, my gosh. I know. The first thing I thought of, well, the most what is the phrase? Most statistically unlikely thing is that my parents still love me after all the... Oh, just kidding. Just kidding. I love you guys. no, I was going to say, God, I couldn't think of anything. So I finally thought of when I was approximately 6, I think, 6 or 7, was when I kind of really first started singing. And we had the Interfaith Gospel Choir come and sing at the church I was going to at the time. And they did a rendition of This Little Light of Mine. And so after they were done, I went up to the conductor of the choir and I was like, oh, I know that song, but I know a different version. And I sang it to her and she looked at my mom. She's like, she needs to be in my choir right now. Put her in my choir. And so the very first solo I did was This Little Light of Mine. And it was in front of an audience. It was at the annual prayer breakfast. And it was in front of an audience of about 2,000 people.
That was your debut? You're like,
that was
I
my
got
debut.
This. And you were how
yeah.
old?
About 6, I think. Maybe 7.
That's some confidence. Yeah. Nice going.
Yeah.
How did that work out for you?
Pretty good. I'm here in a radio station, so I'd say all right.
Yeah, tight band here. It's River Valley Mud. We got time for a couple more. What's it going to be?
We'll be right back.
River Valley Mud. Last one.
Yep. Last one.
Yeah. What it do? What's it going to be? Is it going to be Won't Be Waiting?
Won't Be Waiting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is your hit single right here.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
Hey, I want to say one more thing before we start, which is that Mike, who's hosting this show here, he mixed this song. We gave him a recording. He mixed the song. We heard his mix, and we liked it so much that we actually rearranged it. So now we play it according to Mike Dronkers' mix.
Well, what I appreciate about that is I had begged Scott. I saw Scott at a show. I was like, just give me the tracks. Because for me, raw tracks are like Legos. Like, I'll just stack them up and tear them down and stack it up and tear them down all night long. So I appreciate you letting me play with your precious sounds. But don't let me do it again because I need the sleep. So are we ready to do this?
Joe's yep. Putting a new string on.
Answer me this, yeah. How do you dismiss what we had going on? Well, now do you, baby? You tell me your lies, yeah. But you don't really disguise what you're trying to say. No. Don't you think I know you were running around, yeah? Well, now weren't you, baby? You tell me your lies, yeah, but you don't really disguise what you're trying to say. No, no. Well, now do you, baby? Yeah. Yeah. I thought we had something special going on. Well, well, yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Tell me.